You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. It is a Tuesday, and my guest today is none other than Nick Winkler, my good buddy. We like to chop it up about the 49ers. He is the voice of the 49ers fan here weekly on Locked On 49ers. So welcome to a winky Tuesday. At BD Peacock on Twitter is where you can find me. That's where most of the questions will come from today. We might dip into some emails as well. You can find that email and say hi or drop a question. Keep it short if you want it on the show, though. LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. And now, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, if Nick Bosa comes back from his torn ACL better than before, how good does that make him? And how good does that make the 49ers?
I mean, he was already probably the best defensive end in football. So does he start getting legendary status at that point? I mean, yeah, you got to love his recent quote, right? Of like, I'm coming back, be better than ever. You'll see. Like, oh, yes, please.
I love that. Josina Anderson's been talking to a lot of 49ers folks and 49ers agents. I wonder if the agent from Kyle Juszczyk and Nick Bosa are the same agent. I don't have that.
That would make sense.
I don't pay attention
all
to whose agent is who.
Around the same time.
Yeah. So we'll get to that Kyle Juszczyk news momentarily, the upcoming free agent for the 49ers. And there's some big decisions to make in this offseason. We've talked a lot about quarterbacks. And I do want to mention one note about the quarterback situation with the 49ers, because there was a report about the New England Patriots' interest in bringing back Jimmy Garoppolo. But let's stick with Nick Bosa for a second. I already talked about this story a little bit yesterday, but I'm just thinking, okay, so Nick Bosa essentially had the best defensive end rookie season as far as pressures. You know, his sack numbers were fine, but they weren't mind-blowing. You know, you could argue Aldon Smith had a better rookie season than Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa down-to-down was probably more impactful than even Aldon Smith was. But you look at what happened after Aldon Smith's rookie year, and we've seen some other edge players and some other defensive linemen, year two, year three. Obviously, year two was lost for Nick Bosa with the torn ACL, but if he comes back better than he was already going to be in year three, and that's really where some careers have taken off, we're talking about a 20-sack guy. I mean, that's scary for the rest of the NFC West, right?
Yeah, I mean, even if he doesn't get that 20-sack total, I mean, you mentioned it, the pressures are huge. You know, he may push him into another guy, or he may force, you know, a turnover on a pass, or he might just force a third down, you know, into a fourth down because he made the quarterback, you know, just throw it away so he doesn't get sacked. I mean, he's an impact guy. That's what he is. Every time he's in the game, offensive linemen need to accommodate him, or they need to, you know, worry about him. Like, it's like, okay, who's getting him and how many of us are going to get him? You know, it's like, we're going to scheme towards Bosa. So we saw what happened with Arik Armstead. He got paid because he played opposite Nick Bosa. You know, he makes everyone around him better. So, yeah, I can't wait. And we mentioned his regular season, too. I mean, what did Nick Bosa do in the postseason last year? Like, his pressure numbers were astronomical.
Oh, he went off. Like, yeah, he went off. I love the PFF numbers. I don't have it in front of me here, but it was since 2016, I think, for rookie pressures by defensive linemen. And last year, Chase Young's no joke, the second overall pick in 2020 for Washington. And I think he had half as many pressures in his rookie season as Nick Bosa did in 2019. So
Crazy. It's
just pretty amazing what he was able to do. And a run defender. That's why I talk about every down. Like, Nick Bosa is a beast. And he's not just selling out to go get the quarterback on every down. He's not just a situational guy. He's an every down stud impact player. So that's why he's not going to be included in my proposals for Deshaun Watson. Although, if they want to trade straight up, I think you have to have that conversation. But to me, Nick Bosa is worth like 3 first round picks in his own right.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, they definitely hit a home run there. Hopefully he comes back healthy.
Yeah, hopefully he comes back just as good. He doesn't need to be better. But if he's better, that'd be pretty cool too, I think, for the 49ers.
Yeah, I'll take the Nick Bosa from 2 years ago. I'll take him right now. No questions asked.
There's no doubt he's going to work his butt off, right? He's not going to come back worse because he didn't try hard to get back and get better.
Yeah, it was a freak injury. You know, you can't, you know, I'm not too worried about it. I'm excited.
Yes.
I think, like you said, he's going to work his butt off. He's going to come back ready to go. And you just can't look in the rearview mirror anymore. It's time to look forward.
How about this? Multiple reports from different sources over the course of the last few days talking about the New England Patriots, and they're trying to figure out their quarterback situation. I think they were a little too lackadaisical last year, losing Tom Brady, and they kind of didn't care about their quarterback position, right? Late in the summer, they finally signed Cam Newton to a one-year deal. It was really weird what the Patriots were doing. I thought they were completely sold on Jarrett Stidham. Turns out they probably were not, and maybe should have been a little bit more urgent about finding a quarterback. And apparently they've been calling some teams and trying to check all their boxes and check in on every quarterback they could possibly add. And that includes the draft, I think, too. But the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo is one of those quarterbacks. And it's not a surprise. I think if you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo going somewhere, I would think the New England Patriots would be a top landing spot for him if the 49ers decided to go another direction. And those reports are out there now. And the Patriots have called about not only Jimmy Garoppolo, but every other available quarterback. But, you know, it's pretty easy to draw those connections between the 49ers and the Patriots, sending Jimmy G back if they need to do something else at quarterback. But I don't think that's still the most likely scenario, but it's obviously a scenario that's out there. What do the 49ers do without Jimmy G is the big question we're all trying to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the two most comfortable landing spots you can think of for Jimmy, you know, that and then probably the Jets. You know, as the two spots where he could go and just be like, okay, I'm just going to step right in.
Right. Or Chicago, because he grew up there and they need a veteran quarterback. They're probably in a very much, you know, with this GM and head coach situation with a pretty good defense, they need someone who could probably step in, be a veteran and win now more so than a rookie in Chicago, because that coach GM tandem, they have another bad season with a rookie quarterback, might not have their jobs for when that quarterback becomes good and develops. So I could see that being a fit in a team that I would just assume, and I have no idea, but I would assume that it would be a top landing spot for Jimmy G himself to waive his no trade clause. So yeah, those three teams absolutely make the most sense. And I'd probably put them Patriots, Bears, Jets in that order. And it's hard to see him going anywhere else. Maybe Houston would be, I mean, I could see Houston liking Jimmy enough, but it doesn't really make sense for where they would be going without Deshaun Watson. They were already a four-win team. They're not going to be winning now in the next 2 years that Jimmy Garoppolo's there, even if Nick Caserio was part of the front office that drafted him in New England.
Yeah, I don't know why Jimmy would waive his no-trade clause for something
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't really make sense for Jimmy on either side when it comes to Houston. So that's interesting, though. I wonder if the Jets would want to bring Jimmy in just to be a stopgap and maybe only start for a couple games before their rookie that they draft number two overall comes in.
Yeah, or maybe they feel so confident in Jimmy G because of their time together in San Francisco that they're like, we don't need to spend number two on a quarterback. Like, we can spend that elsewhere. We could trade that away and get a whole bunch more picks. And we've got a bunch of money to bring in free agents. And they've got some other big scheme planned. I mean, I wouldn't put that against them or past them.
All right, Nick, I love doing this to you. You're John Lynch. I'm Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. I could get you up on the horn and I say, look, I know you're trying to figure out your quarterback situation, but I'm not going to wait anymore. I got to do something at quarterback. I want to get Jimmy G back. You gave us a second. We're going to offer you a second, but this is it. We're not going to wait until after the draft. We're not going to wait until you figure something out at quarterback. Jimmy G for a second round pick right now, yes or no?
Yes. I don't hesitate. I say yes. You would hesitate? You wouldn't do it?
I would also say yes, but, yeah. And that would be super interesting because now the 49ers are forced to do something.
Yeah,
and it's almost like what they need. If they've made the determination that they are really looking that hard, you got to pull the Band-Aid off maybe and figure it out. And, you know, it might be best for all sides. It might be best for the Patriots. It might be best for Jimmy himself. Mm-hmm. And you got to think that Jimmy at some point is like, what are you guys doing? Can you figure this out? You know, can we stop this charade? And at some point, Jimmy probably feels like the leftover guy, you know, and it's like they're settling for Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback with all their interest in other QBs. And if they draft a guy, then he's obviously going to be a lame duck. If they draft a guy in the first round, that is, you know, because of course they think that guy's going to play and they'll probably want him to play as soon as he's able, whether that's year two or in the middle of year one. So I would take that deal because I think that's probably the max the 49ers would be able to get in a trade. He might have more trade value around the league than people suspect. If they say a third rounder, maybe I would say, yeah, you know, I think we could get that anyway, so we'll wait and we'll figure this thing out.
Yeah.
But a second rounder is where I would start to say, let's just trade Jimmy first and be done with that. And that would really make the 49ers have to do something because I'm worried they're not going to do anything because they don't have to. And they're going to stay with Jimmy, even though they're maybe not sold. And then we're going to have to repeat this process again next year. And you're going to be a year behind if you're drafting a new quarterback.
Yeah, there's just something inside me that feels like, getting that second round pick is more valuable when we try to continue our search for a new quarterback than dangling Jimmy G out there because of his no trade clause and because of his injury history. You know, I just feel like if you try to package him in something to go get somebody else, maybe he says no. Or maybe they say, well, he hasn't played too many games for you guys. Yeah, when he's out there, he's good, but he's not out there very much. Whereas you just throw that second round pick in there and you're like, okay. And it's from New England, so they might be bad again. So it might be a good second round pick. You know, there's, I don't know. I just, to me, I feel like if someone offers you a second round pick, especially if it's a team near the front half, you know, of the draft board there, I think you got to pull the trigger and just say yes.
Although Jimmy Garoppolo, when he starts, wins about 75% of the games.
No, so, yeah, maybe that's not the Jimmy case. Or is it the scheme?
Maybe. You know? Well, when it comes to the 49ers, it's definitely Jimmy because you take him out, then they're losing 75% of the games. So with Bill Belichick and Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, if he stays healthy, who knows? Maybe they could win a bunch of games and end up
just
a playoff
such a
team.
Big if, though.
Yeah. So anyway, that was just an interesting scenario there. There's actually a report to tie everything together. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. Let's get into Kyle Juszczyk next, his future with the 49ers, and to get into the mailbag, we've got a question about all-time fullbacks and a ton of other good questions to get to coming up on this Winky Tuesday. The football season is over, but there are still ways to bet on the NFL when it comes to betonline.ag. NFL draft. You bet on who the first pick in the draft is going to be. That one's not great because it takes $50 to make $1. With Trevor Lawrence, who is going to be the number one overall pick in the draft. But things do get interesting when it comes to the second pick. Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Penei Sewell, or the third overall pick, even more interesting. Who will be the second quarterback selected? The third quarterback selected? Who will be the first wide receiver selected? Or how about put some money on J.J. Watt's next team? The Steelers, Bills, and Packers, with the Cleveland Browns coming in fourth most likely when it comes to J.J. Watt's odds. At Bet Online, Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson's landing spot if traded. The fun is endless. NBA, NHL, table games, poker, blackjack, they have it all at Bet Online. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Josina Anderson, again, all over the 49ers coverage right now, gave us the little nugget from Nick Bosa on Monday. On Tuesday, she said she spoke with Kyle Juszczyk and that there is some mutual conversations happening, which you would expect for an impending free agent that the 49ers obviously like. But the question is now, they still don't know what the salary cap's going to be. The window has opened for franchise tags to be placed on players. Kyle Juszczyk's not going to get a franchise tag because I think that running backs are mixed in with fullbacks, so he'd get crazy money. So that's not Yikes. An option. But no teams are franchise tagging players because they don't know what the salary cap is yet. So there's a big holdup with a lot of these conversations that you can't really have. Players like Trent Williams, it sounds like he's going to test the free agent market at least a little bit. But Kyle Juszczyk is one I could see getting done first. But apparently, you know, they've had some talks, but, you know, there's just not enough that both sides know about value and cap space to work out a deal right now, but they have been talking, and I'm sure the 49ers want to get a deal done. If you have the best player at a position in the league, you want to bring him back, but the price has to be right and make sense too.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week about the impending free agency and who the Niners should really focus on, and obviously Juszczyk should be towards the top of that list, but yeah, I mean, you can't overpay with something like this, especially when you don't have a left tackle currently, and you know, and your quarterback situation is so up in the air, and you need to almost a complete overhaul of your secondary. Like, there's a lot of areas of concern right now for the 49ers. Juszczyk is definitely more of a luxury I want on my team. But yeah, if you can't get it done, I loved your idea of bringing in Frank Gore and letting him be the fullback. Yes.
That wasn't my original idea. Somebody, one of the listeners, I think during a mailbag or something, had that idea. And at first I thought about it. I was like, maybe I could see that. And the more I think about it, the more I kind of like it because he'll be cheaper. He could be a short yardage back. You know, obviously, everyone would love to see Frank Gore back in 49ers uniform at least one more time. He's going to sign at least a one-day contract at some point and retire as a 49er. But it would be cool to see him put the uniform on. And who knows, maybe even get himself a ring with the 49ers would be pretty cool.
So, that would be a great way to go out. Shout out to that listener, whoever you may be.
Yeah, and I can't remember who it was, so apologies. But, you know, fun idea. Very unlikely, but.
Right.
Fullbacks. How about this one? Let's go to 904 Niners Nation frequent listener and tweeter into the show. He says, at BD Peacock, at Bay Area Wink, let's change it up from all this quarterback talk and ask Nick, king of fullbacks, Winkler, to rank these 49ers fullbacks based on his fandom. All right, so.
Okay, and, I like it.
Look, you're not limited to these either. You can throw another fullback in there if you want to. He's got them. Tom Rathman, William Floyd, Fred Beasley, Kyle Juszczyk. You can include your list too, BDP. Oh, can I? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I can talk about them too on my own podcast.
You get to talk fullbacks, apparently.
No, this is your question, Nick. I want to hear it. You are a fullback. You're the fullback guru of this podcast. So take it away. Who's your favorite all-time 49ers fullback? And maybe rank the top few and give us some reasons why.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if I had to do like a top three, they're all on that list, you know, and the first one clearly comes.
Wait, hold on. There's four names on that list and they're all in your top three?
Three of the top four.
I'm no math wizard, but I don't think that works.
My top three, three of them okay. are on that list of four.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I'm with you now.
Yes. The top one, number one spot, that's an easy one. I mean, that goes back old school. Yeah. We're talking about, you know, when I'm first introduced to football. And I'm, who is this 44 out there just bashing heads with everybody and clearing lanes? And, oh, man, this guy's a stud. And he was on Tecmo Super Bowl, you know. And it's just, there's so much history with me and Tom Rathman that, for me, he's my all-time favorite fullback. You know, he's the man when it comes to being a fullback. And then he became a coach, you know. And it's just, it was fun to watch his whole career. I think he just recently retired this year as well from coaching. Like, just a lot of fun to watch Rathman's career, for sure. And then I think it just goes down to the second guy on his list there. I mean, bar none, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who helped the 49ers win a Super Bowl. He was the lead blocker for Ricky Waters. You know, it's another part of my childhood, my youth, my original love of this 49er team growing up watching. He's the reason I picked 40 when I played football. Like, it was because of William Floyd. And man, what a great defensive or offensive player he was. Blocking, oh, just love Floyd. Just getting some good memories right now. And then it's Juszczyk, because it's just been fun to watch fullback get used that way. You know, that offensive weapon, just to be like, look, they're not all the same. They're not all these meatheads just get out there and block or get that 1 yard dive up the middle on a fourth and goal or a fourth and one. You know, it's like, no, he's out there running wheel routes. He's running, you know, slants. He's doing whatever it takes to get things done in this offense. And he's an exciting player. So obviously I'd love to see him re-signed, because he's my third favorite 49er fullback. But again, it's a luxury, the fullback position. If you're going to go out and spend some money, that seems like an area that money could be spent elsewhere, and you could bring in another guy that could maybe the backfield instead of that fullback. I don't know. I'm no Kyle Shanahan guy, but I can't scheme it up like he can.
Yeah.
But to me, I love the idea of two backs in the backfield. I really do.
I like the idea that your fullback can be a weapon and can catch the ball and can run the ball a little bit and can block, and you can move him around. And it doesn't matter if it's a tight end or a fullback, but I like having that X factor on the offense. And I obviously, look, Kyle Shanahan grew up watching the same teams we grew up watching, and I'm sure feels the same way about Tom Rathman, and feels the same way about utilizing that type of player, watching Bill Walsh's offense and then his dad's offenses growing up. I mean, that's a huge factor. Here's what's interesting, and for me, it's a runaway Tom Rathman's number one for the same reason, sentimentality, you know, growing up, he was the guy, you know, forever, all the way into the mid-90s for the 49ers. But, I mean, in this day and age, the way that Kyle Shanahan schemes it up and uses his fullback and gets him wide open at times, and Tom Rathman was insanely productive. In 1989, Tom Rathman had 73 catches for 616 yards, which
That's
is
crazy.
Nearly double what Kyle Juszczyk has ever had as far as receptions goes in a season. I think the most he had with the 49ers is 33 in year one. Last year he only caught 19 balls for 202 yards.
That's wild.
He did have four touchdowns, though. So Kyle Juszczyk is actually not that big of a factor, which is why I don't know if the 49ers can afford to pay him for what he gives them. And it's impactful and it's important. And he can do a lot for you, and the defense doesn't know what you're going to do. You can run or pass when he's on the field. But for a guy who's only on the field half the time, you got to be smart. And I'm taking, you know, a starting outside corner. If that guy needs his money, that $5 million, whatever it's going to be, if your nickel corner needs that money, if your offensive line needs that money, I'm just going in those directions. If you need a pass rusher to give him that money, you know, unfortunately he plays fullback. And so, and there's a reason fullbacks aren't as highly paid as other position groups. Now, if he comes in a little bit more in line with just the other top fullbacks in the NFL, and there's not that many, then you bring him back. But if he wants, you know, double what the next guy gets, it's just, it's going to be hard for me to envision the 49ers should bring him back.
Yeah, I hate that you're right, but you know, it just makes perfect sense. You gotta put that money elsewhere in this team. There's too many needs.
But as far as your list goes, my list is exactly the same.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, even William Floyd, I think he was on NFL Blitz. You know, like there's you know, the video games play a big role.
William Floyd
in my life
nature.
As well.
Floyd was the most talented. Floyd is even was even, you know, looser as an athlete than Kyle Juszczyk. And Juszczyk, I don't think anywhere near his 240 pounds he came into the league as, because fullbacks aren't asked to be thumpers like Rathman and Floyd and even Fred Beasley were before him. So Kyle Juszczyk has that benefit of not needing to be a full-on thumper. And William Floyd was still a freak of nature, and Tom Rathman was so impactful and was utilized more often too. He's on the field more often because his fullbacks were just on the field more. So anyway, that's my list as well for all-time 49ers fullbacks. I love Kyle Juszczyk. I just, you know, he plays fullback. And I talk about how little value running backs have to me, and like, don't pay them those big second contracts and don't draft them in the first couple of rounds. Fullbacks, I mean, at this point, and who else? I mean, how many, you're only competing.
Name another fullback.
Name a team that's going to pay a bunch of money for a fullback.
Well, just name another fullback in the NFL. Like, I mean, honestly, I hate to say it because, you know, I was a fullback, but it's one of those unsung positions. And it's kind of, there's like a handful of them still around in the NFL that actually see more than just a handful of snaps.
Anyway, that was a good question.
It was.
Tom Rathman, man. I can't wait to teach my son how to hold a football. And I just have this picture of Tom Rathman when he was a coach for the 49ers, you know, with the ball in his hands and talking about the 3 points of pressure or the 4 points of pressure. It's like the hand on the end of the ball, forearm on the side of the ball that's touching your bicep, and then it's touching your body. It's like the 4 points of pressure when you're holding the football. Just like some really base level stuff that Tom Rathman preached. But every time training camp would happen, there'd be a camera there. Tom Rathman was always the guy that I would hear talking, and the guy that was like, yeah, this guy's just straight up, like, listen to this dude. He knows how to do everything you need to do to be successful on a football field.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, obviously he will forever be a 49er, even though he went and played with the Raiders. It's fine. It's fine. We let that go.
Did not like that at all.
No. That's kind of what Niners do. They either go to the Raiders or they go to the Seahawks. It's how it is.
It's funny that you mentioned the number. You used William Floyd's number 40.
Yeah.
I think the first time I played any football, it was like, you know, small youth flag football. And I wanted to be 16 because of Joe Montana. The jersey numbers didn't even go that high. So I ended up with 15.
Oh, but, so
but
close.
I got the highest number there was. It was 15. So, but then the next time, I wanted 42 because of Ronnie Lott. And I played a little running back and a little DB. So 42 was a good number there, even though I wasn't a thumper safety. I played a little corner. I was just a skinny, fast kid at that point.
When I played Pop Warner, my first number, they just gave me a jersey. I was a guard. They gave me 69. And I was like 11 years old. And so I get in the car and I'm like, hey, Mom, you know, I got the number 69. And she's got this look on her face. And I was like, what? She's like, did anyone make fun of that? I was like, well, yeah, people giggled and stuff. So that was a fun conversation to have with my mom when she explained to me what that meant.
At 11. That's awesome.
Yeah, 11. Because obviously, you know, got to be like, well, what does that mean, Mom? And then I pushed it and pushed it and pushed it and wished that I hadn't.
Yeah, that's tough for me too, because I don't look forward to those conversations. You know, and you have those with your parents where it's like, they're probably trying to put it off as much as possible.
Yep.
But something happens one day and they're like, well, guess we're having this conversation right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, we just got that the other day. But how does the baby get inside you, Mom? It's like, oh man.
No.
Okay.
Are we there already?
I know. It's crazy.
That's good stuff. All right. More questions on Winky Tuesday next. It's wintertime, which means some bad weather and which means road conditions are not ideal. Make sure that vehicle you were driving all summer long is still ready to roll for anything that might come its way all winter long at rockauto.com. Keep your car on the road. Keep your car and family safe. If you need accessories for your vehicle, if you need anything at all involving your vehicle, it is such an amazing selection at rockauto.com, and their prices are always reliably low. RockAuto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com with a unique catalog, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. I do want to shout out a couple of listeners that are keeping me honest here. And Nick, as you know, I'm wrong often.
And not as often as me, buddy.
I said that Martin Mayhew was not the GM of Washington football team. And in my defense, I think this news happened the week that I was leaving for my birthday. And then there was also talk of Deshaun Watson. And my brain power was used. I probably lost 4 years of childhood memories just with fictitious trades for Deshaun Watson that were rolling through my head once I thought
there
that
were
that
a
was
lot.
Actually something that could be a possibility. But I think the Martin Mayhew thing was, for some reason, I just thought he had a different title than GM with Washington. But no, he is Washington's full-on GM. And as a result, the 49ers, and I knew this, the 49ers are going to get that draft pick in 2023 now. So three straight years, the 49ers will have a third-round comp pick. They have the two for Robert Saleh, and then with Mayhew going to Washington as their actual general manager, even though he's maybe not the top of the pyramid there. It's Ron Rivera. But Washington's GM, so the 49ers are going to get a third-round comp pick now in 2023 as well.
Good, good. I like that.
So that's that. So thank you to the couple of listeners out there that are paying attention, first of all, and listening and keeping me honest.
Yeah, you know, it's your world, Peacock. You know, we established that. We're all living in it. But, you know, come on. You're not infallible.
No, definitely not.
Close to it, but
definitely
not fully.
How about this one? The Washington football team is going to continue to be called the Washington football team in 2021. They said, quote, "We'll work with Nike, the NFL, and our internal team to start bringing the new identity to life on and off the field, which will begin in 2022, apparently. So they're going to give themselves even more time to try to design something and figure out a name and figure everything out, and that'll be coming in 2022, which I don't think that's a great strategy. Like, how long does it take? And
right.
You don't want to just, you know, crap something out and have a really bad logo and a bad name or anything like that. But also now your identity becomes this.
Yeah.
People get used to stuff. And
so
this is what you are now. Two full seasons
being
as
called that.
Washington football team. It's not like that's going to go away.
Right. I mean, that WFT, you know, quickly turned to WTF.
Yeah, every time I see it, it's WTF. Yeah. And it actually makes my eyes go to it. Anytime someone's talking about Washington football team, they'll put WFT in every, like in a tweet. If there's WFT in a tweet, I will go straight to that for some reason. My eyes are like, oh, what's going on here? WTF. And it's like, oh, no, it's WFT. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I feel like that's a soccer thing to do. And they figure it out.
Like, how bad is that organization? Come on. They knew this was coming for this long and they couldn't roll anything out yet.
Right. I'm surprised they didn't roll anything out to begin with. Like, I thought for sure they'd just be like, oh, we've had something waiting for this very moment.
Right.
Because
it's not like they
talked about for so long.
Yeah, they couldn't see this coming.
This isn't shocking news that people didn't like this team name. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I'm
bothered by this.
Maybe that's it. You know, that guy in the DC area had bought the rights to a bunch of names.
Oh yeah. Maybe he was too expensive or something.
For years he's had these names, and I'm sure he's maybe, you know, holding on to one of those extra tight that they want to use. And so maybe there's lawyers involved. So maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know.
That makes sense. It's kind of a jerk move.
You have to also make sure you don't screw up and pick another bad name.
Yeah. Right.
Like something even worse. And they're like, oh, what? Oh, I guess that's not going to work either.
WTF is working well, guys.
Yeah, exactly. The Washington Train Farmers.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right, here we go. What are we doing? Here we go. This is from Travis. He says, my favorite offseason plan yet. This scenario, we trade Jimmy for a pick, use that pick to trade for Marcus Mariota, use cap savings to resign Trent, Verrett, Mosley, DJ Jones, Ronald Blair, and bring in Alex Mack. Let Juice and Bourne and Kaywan Williams walk. What do you think?
I wouldn't be too excited about Mariota as the quarterback.
If the pick you're getting for Jimmy G gets you Mariota, and Mariota's only on a one-year deal, so either he's bad and you got worse at quarterback, or he's expensive after 1 year again.
Right.
And... or he's just mediocre, but you still have to sign him because you need a veteran quarterback or something like that, and now you're out the pick that you would have had for Jimmy G. And I think the 49ers can do most of what he's talking about here. Trent Williams,
I like
and
the
Jason
rest
Verrett,
of it, yeah.
Maybe you lose one more player, but I don't know if that's worth it. If I'm trading Jimmy G, I want to utilize that pick for something bigger than Marcus Mariota. And I like Marcus Mariota, but...
I feel like he'd be great to come in, even if they do keep Jimmy G, bring him in as his backup.
Or, well, he's too expensive. That's the problem. So
yeah,
that's the whole circular argument with Jimmy G, because it keeps coming back around to, okay, well, if Jimmy G's not the guy, you've made that decision, then save the money that you would be paying Jimmy G. And
right.
if you need to bring in a high-end backup, now you're paying your quarterbacks $35 million, you know?
Yeah.
So that doesn't make sense either.
Yeah, you're right.
He has a mock draft to go along with it that has the 49ers trading back, selecting Mac Jones out of Alabama at 25, mm-hmm. a pass rusher Azeez Ojulari at 33, which it sounds like they made a trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars, who moved up with their late first and their early second round picks to move up to pick 12 to draft somebody. Not sure who they drafted there, but I'm just guessing since the 49ers ended up with pick 25 and 33 here. Creed Humphrey, interior offensive lineman, Aaron Robinson, corner from UCF, Andre Sisko, not the thong.
I like
thong
where he's
Sisko.
Going with those picks.
Yeah.
Those are definitely areas where they'll need some depth.
Another couple wide receivers, another corner, Kelvin Joseph, who's popular in these mocks for the 49ers in round four, and Michigan fullback Ben Mason. So the fullback replacement at pick 196, which is a really common one I keep seeing on day three for the 49ers, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. When Juice signs elsewhere for a lot more money than we're willing to spend.
What do you think? The Travis plan? Yay or nay? You don't get
again. I don't love the idea of Mariota being the quarterback next year. That part I'm not too sold on. But I like most of the other moves he made there.
I'm with you. One more quick note here before we go from Matt Maiocco, who said, and it kind of goes along with what we heard from Josina Anderson, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk, Jason Verrett, Kaywan Williams, and pretty much every other unrestricted free agent the 49ers have. He said fans should not be expecting those players to sign extensions before the start of free agency in mid-March, which is interesting. Which
right.
means they run the risk of losing any and all of them.
Yeah, that sucks. But again, everything's on pause right now, right? Until you find out how much is actually on the salary cap.
Nope. Yeah. For right now, every team has to be in a little bit of a holding pattern just because
right.
unless they know for sure that at the lowest, which is the league came out and said the floor for the salary cap will be like 180. They thought it might
right.
be 175. It's 180 now. So if you know you can do everything for 180 and a player fits in, then you can, you know, franchise tag a guy or you can extend a player. But otherwise, you got to figure out what the cap is first and then do some things. And we might see a record number of free agents and extra free agents that weren't supposed to be free agents hitting the market, too, from teams trying to shed some salary to get under the cap and figure out some of the things they need to do. So this could be a wild offseason.
Yeah, I know. It's already been wild, man. There's already been a couple former first round quarterbacks traded for each other. I mean, this is getting more and more fun every single day.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Nick Winkler will be joining me weekly throughout the offseason, breaking down everything that is going on. If you have a question for me at BD Peacock, if you want one that's specifically for an episode where I'm joined by Nick Winkler, tag him at Bay Area Wink. I'll be back tomorrow. Gonna have some other guests later in the week breaking down everything that's going on. And by the way, check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast Wednesday. I will be dropping my first mock draft, picks 1 through 32 in round one on that program. You're not going to get it here. You're only going to get it at Peacock and Williamson. So go find that and subscribe to the daily NFL show that I do with Matt Williamson, former NFL scout. He was an ESPN scribe for about 10 years, and we have fun breaking down the entire league every day. Talk to you then on Peacock and Williamson. Talk to you tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.